Technorama episode 374 for June 5th, 2013. Between a black hole and a rock.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Whoa! Looks like you remodeled this place. Where'd you put all the cool stuff?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 5th, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. It's a treat having you here. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and in that man crawling under the desk rewiring something is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
My recorder decided to tell me to power off.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Again,
that's what happens when you don't podcast for a couple of months.
And you know what's funny is I didn't change a thing.
Yeah, it's the spooks of the studio.
It's mad at you for leaving.
Yeah, the gremlins came in and changed things. And
your cats played with the mixer. Yeah, we know how that goes. It happens here too. I've actually had more podcasts for work than I have for this show in the past 2 months. And that's saying a lot because I only do those about once every 3 or 4 weeks.
See, that's scary. We got to fix that.
Well, speaking of fixing things, let's get on with the show. Coming up in this one, we have the new Star Trek. We have a wok mac. Is that like a Chinese dish?
I don't know. You tell me.
And what have we been up to during our quote-unquote break?
I used to have people call all the time. 9 times out of 10, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government. We're called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
We have a fun time doing this show every week, and hey, look, Julie's with us. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Hello.
Yay!
Julie's home for summer. She's got herself a job and a half.
Yep.
And some new transportation. She's a biker chick.
It's a pretty sweet ride.
What?
She bought herself a really old moped.
Oh, moped. A really old moped?
Really old. 1980 Honda.
79, 80.
You got the little pedals to kind of kickstart.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Got a pedal start.
That's cool.
No battery. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It goes 25 tops, but other than that, it's pretty sweet.
25
it's a ride,
tops.
Right? It'll That's get right. you to and from work.
Yeah, because cheap dad won't buy you a car.
Well, we don't really have room for a car.
We don't have room to park a car.
Oh, I see.
We can get a moped going around. Hey, the other sweet thing is Technorama has been nominated once again for a Parsec Award. Thank you very much for the listener that did that.
Hey, and I think like in every, he put him in every category.
No, no, no. It said now choose a category because we were nominated under general.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, we're not like speculative fiction long form here. Hmm. So I think we're going to have to go for, what did we get? Comedy parody.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we got best comedy or parody. We're not sure which one.
So that means you're going to have to find some original content.
No, the trick is we're a parody of a comedy, so.
Or a comedy of a parody. Yeah. Or a tragedy of comedies. So.
Hey, what would you call a parody of a parody?
Can we have the tragic error?
Scary Movie 5?
Ooh, that was quick. I
one,
don't
two,
even
three,
have
four,
the rim shot on that one.
Yeah.
Every week we do this show live on Google Plus. Well, I say every week. It's every week we can get to it. We've had a lot of things that have come up, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But the weeks we are doing this, we do this live on Google Plus at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd love to see you there. Join us at chuckchat.com/webcam or go to youtube.com/technoramapodcast. And we will see you there. We also have a live chat room going. So if you do go to the webcam thing, there's a built-in chat client. There's nothing to download. It's all on the web. Make up a handle and join the chat room. We'd love to see you there. Easy to do. Simple to do. Friendly people in the chat room this week. We have Elka Ranger Craig, which is, that's Craig Glasner from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Claudio M. Captain Rootbeer. C. Tomasi. Fuffy Frog has joined us once again. Gru, Matt Marv. You, me, and Tim Elliott. Did I say my name twice?
Probably.
And Julie. Julie's not in the chat room, but if you say something, I'll type it.
I would say hi, Mad Marv, and hi, Tim Elliott, because they both said hi, and it was very nice of them.
Yep, they said hi, Julie, and hi, guys, back. Yeah. Awesome. So join us there. It's a lot of fun. We also have a birthday calendar. Turning to the birthday calendar, we've missed a lot, so I don't think we're going to catch up for the last 2 months. If you had a birthday in April or May... Happy birthday. We wish you all the best.
Yeah.
I hope you had a great one and wish you another successful trip around the sun. Coming up this week, we have two on June 6th. Adam Larson, a.k.a. Uncle Adam. That sounds like a character from the Adams Family or something. Yeah.
We also have Grandma Grace.
Wow. Grandma Grace is putting on some serious seniority cred here.
1921. Wow.
Did they have computers back then?
Sort of.
You kids and your podcasts.
We had abacuses back in the day.
Count, yeah.
Social media was sitting around the campfire.
On the porch.
June 8th was Bobby Irvin. June 10th, we have two more. Tim from Australia and Weber. By the way, June 10th, AA was founded in 1935. Why is he telling us about Alcoholics Anonymous or AA batteries? I'm not sure which
one. Maybe he's trying to tell us something.
Yeah, there's a message in there somewhere. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it happens to be your birthday and you didn't make it to the calendar, happy birthday to you too. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki and add your name to the birthday calendar. It's still there. It still works. And we'll still give you a shout out at the right time of year.
We promise. So
we love to see you there. I am going to pan this to Craig's side, and we will start the history thing. It's been a long time. There ought to be a lot more history, right?
Sure. A little bit more.
On this day in history for June 5th, 2013. This is June 5th. It's the 156th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 209 days remaining in 2013.
Hey, better get my shopping done.
Yeah. It was on this date in 1817 that the first Great Lakes steamer, the Frontenac, is launched.
Also today in 1851, Harriet Beecher Stowe's anti-slavery serial, Uncle Tom's Cabin, or The Life Among the Lowly, starts a 10-month run on the National Era Abolitionist newspaper.
What kind of cereal was it? Uncle Tom's Cabin sounds more like a pancake batter. The first regularly scheduled Orient Express departs Paris, started on June 5th, 1883.
And the same date, 1956, Elvis Presley introduces the new single, Hound Dog, on the Milton Berle Show, scandalizing the audience with the suggestive hip movements. I'm doing them right now.
Scandalous. Julie, you want the next one?
Which one's the next one?
This one.
All right, DSV Elvin is commissioned 49 years ago today.
It was June 5th, 1976 that saw the collapse of the Teton Dam in Idaho in the United States.
And the Apple II, the first personal computer, goes on sale today in 1977.
This one sounds more like a Julie one. Why don't you take that one too?
And in 1995, the Bose-Einstein condensate is first created.
Do you know what a Bose-Einstein condensate is?
No.
Okay, then we'll move on. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Bernardino Baldi, Italian mathematician born on this date in 1553.
And Italian mathematician Elena Coronado.
Keep going.
Indiana Jones there. Cornaro Piscopia. Is that right? Also born today in 1646.
We'll get Craig Rosetta Stone yet.
Yeah.
Also born on that same date in 1819, English mathematician and astronomer John Couch Adams.
And American Sheriff Pat Garrett, famed for killing Billy the Kid, was born today in 1815.
And finally, Hungarian English engineer and physicist Nobel laureate Denis Gabor was born 113 years ago today. That means he was born in 1900.
Wow. So this is his 113th birthday, is that right?
Like the 111st birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This would be his 113rd birthday?
Yes.
And that's right. The way it was, something like that, whether we made it up or not, on this day in history for June 5th, 2013.
Bow, 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 bow.
Ba-ba-da, da-da-da.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba.
Kind of fun when you get that little extra time when we're not rushing it.
Yeah.
Of course, right. Now Craig has to sync that all up. Just use the 3:10 version.
Yeah, 3:10. Okay, make a note of that.
So we have been up to a lot, which is why we have not had a lot of opportunity to podcast since early April. Oh, scandalous.
Yes.
Which means this show can officially go on next year's Parsec Award. So this one's off limits. So if there's anything funny in here, write it down.
Yeah.
We won't remember it in a year.
Yeah. Put it on your calendar so you can go back and look, oh, they said something funny today.
I'm just gonna now imagine, if you will, listener, those old steamer trunks with travel stickers on them. So when people went places, they had stickers from where they went, you know, France and India and Sri Lanka. Well, mine has I should just come up with a virtual steamer trunk and stick these things on it. I guess that's called a passport, isn't it?
Just get you a sticker that says Earth.
In April, I had a business trip to Orlando and then a week and a half business trip to Singapore. And in May, it was Las Vegas for a convention and London for another business trip. So, I mean, literally some of these I was home for about 24 hours and had to turn around and go on another trip.
That had to get tiring.
And it's tough to get the socks washed and dried in that time.
Yeah, I bet so.
So it's been a busy couple of months, but very, very good. And I'm spending my airline points on all kinds of things, including tickets for Dragon Con. Very soon.
Very soon.
Got to get those. I have established that first level of premier, whatever it is, like silver status on two airlines just from this quarter.
Oh, really? They know you by name?
Right. Yeah, they practically do as I'm walking through any of the regional airports. Like, hello, Mr. Tomasi. Hello, Hong, at the sushi place. Anyway, the other thing I've been doing is when I was in London, my boss had recommended a show called Arrow,
mm-hmm.
which is on CTV, which I don't know if that's Canadian or...
Actually, it's on CW here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have you watched that show?
No, but my wife's been watching it.
Very good show. Kind of a it just finished its first season. Kind of a Batman-like story of rich boy vigilante, but with a whole different backstory and a whole different motivation of what he's doing each week. And the overarching story is very good also. They just finished season one. Should be starting up again in October. If you haven't seen it, I believe it's available, you know, in the traditional places like iTunes and Amazon and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend it. Great fight scenes, too. If you dig that kind of stuff. But obviously, as you can assume from the name Arrow, he shoots mostly arrows.
Yeah, it's modeled after the green arrow, isn't it? At least the names are.
Could be. He wears green. I don't know if it's based on a superhero or not. As you know, I'm not the largest comic book geek in the world, but maybe one of our listeners can help us out with that. And because of all this traveling and the airline points that I got... I bought myself some Bose QC15 noise-canceling headphones, and those are nice.
You must have seen it in the SkyMall catalog.
No, I see it on about every fourth row in the airplane.
Oh, really?
They're getting very popular. So I asked somebody, I said, hey, how do you like yours? And, I said, would you mind if I, slipped them on and tried them? And couldn't believe how much... They don't cancel out all the background noise, but the vast majority of it... So when I was traveling across the pond, I was actually able to get some sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I tried them on right next to the refrigerator, and it was like somebody turned off the refrigerator when I turned them on.
Oh, yeah. We got a set. I'm trying to remember which ones they are. Maybe one of Harrison's, and they're passive. As soon as I put them, over my ears, I was like, whoa, that really tuned out a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've got a set of Bluetooth. LG makes them, and mm-hmm. they go around your neck, but they have like, it has like little earbuds coming off of it.
Yeah.
And so when you put those in your ears, I can't hear anything either. And when I'm running, I can hear like my feet hitting the ground and my heartbeat.
Oh, wow.
There's a difference. If you do your research, passive noise canceling is like earbuds. They just block out some sound. Active noise canceling, like the Bose, will sample the external noise pattern and actually create a cancellation wave to cancel it out.
Yeah, they're powered, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where I was. So I if was somebody the passive.
So if somebody's talking, it won't cancel it out because it's right. a different pattern. But if somebody went like ee, then would it cancel that out?
Just hey, stand around people going,
go get them and let's try it right here.
Does this count as annoying?
Well, the downside is if there's a screaming child 14 rows back, the airplane noise may drown them out. But if you cancel out some of the airplane noise, you're going to hear that child a lot clearer.
Hey, why don't y'all get them and try it right now? Make some noise and see.
Because they're in the sunroom and that's not going to work right
okay.
now. Actually, right. if you read the Podcasting for Dummies, I think that's where it was. It said, don't use noise canceling for podcasting because you want to hear more of the true sound that's coming through.
That's true.
Like right now, I can hear a whole bunch of background noise because these mics pick up a lot. I think I've got one of them on high
some
gain.
Some machines running.
Yeah.
Could be my laptop. Yeah, my laptop is screaming with the fan right now because it's doing video and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, what have you been up to, Mr. Traveler?
Well, I guess the biggest thing that we had going on in between all of your travels was we went to Alaska. We took a cruise.
Very cool.
Yes, it was awesome. We flew into Vancouver and took the cruise along the coastline, went to Ketchikan, Juneau, Icy Point, and Skagway, and then Seward. Or, I'm sorry, I keep saying it wrong. It's Seward.
Seward, yes.
Oh. Yes.
So named after the Secretary of Interior who bought up Alaska.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I remember
he seeing
it.
He worked for
somewhere.
Lincoln.
I think you're right. So anyway, it was the place was great, and that's the first time I've been on a cruise, so the cruise experience was interesting. You know, there's food everywhere. You know, every time I turn around, we had a balcony off our room, and
oh, nice.
The view was awesome. We saw not so much whales from the ocean, but we did see whales. I think the most beautiful thing I've ever seen was we pulled up to Hubbard Glacier. Which go pull it up on Google Maps and you'll see it.
I saw your a panoramic picture that you posted.
Yeah. I did a photosphere with the camera. That's almost like the 3D, almost like the QuickTime VR.
Did you actually
thing.
See whales?
Yes, we did see whales.
Did you say the line from Star Trek IV?
Yeah, actually, I did, but I was the only one that got it.
Oh.
I said, there be whales here.
You have to go on a geek cruise then. I guess this won't work.
That would have been fun. But yes, I did. I did say that. And everybody was like, what the hell is he talking about? They're right there. Oh, well. Anyway.
Cut off the booze.
Yeah. Well, we saw every kind of animal except for a moose and a bear, which were on our list. But we saw.
Craig's playing wildlife bingo. Did you see a fox? I got a fox.
We got mountain goats. We saw orcas and humpbacks. I'm trying to think what else we saw. The mountain goats was kind of weird.
Wow, those humpbacks travel fast. They were in Hawaii in February.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we saw them, orcas. I got some pictures of those because we took a small cruise through Resurrection Bay. It was like an afternoon cruise, and there's so much wildlife in that area. It was crazy. So, anyway, loads of fun. I can highly recommend it, and Alaska was beautiful. I can't say more about it. It's just
we've done the Caribbean a few times, and I'd really, really love to get to do the Alaska or Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
So right there with you.
Good. Yeah. So
let's take a look at the news.
Not quite.
No, this isn't quite good news. Actually, the BBC is reporting that Matt Smith announces he is to leave Doctor Who. Oh, man.
Well, you know what's funny is I saw a couple of rumors, maybe before season seven started, and they were talking, or this last season, seven, they were talking about he was considering leaving, and he, no, I made no decision about that. Well, apparently he has.
Let me read a little bit here. The BBC is today announcing that Matt Smith is to leave the Doctor Who after 4 incredible years on the hit BBC One show. Matt first stepped into the TARDIS in 2010 and will leave the role at the end of this year after starring in the unmissable 50th anniversary in November and regenerating in the Christmas special. During this time, as the Doctor, Matt has reached over 30 million unique UK viewers, and his incarnation has seen the show go truly global. I thought it already was global.
Well, I mean, just because of the fan base has grown, I think that's what they're saying.
He was also the first actor to be nominated for a BAFTA in the role. Wow, that's really pretty cool.
What is a BAFTA?
It's what you get BAFTA you leave the show.
No, it's a...
it's like the British actor or something. Yeah,
it's like a Golden Globe type thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. And I hate that. I was hoping for at least one more.
Well, they keep going younger, so they'll have to get like a 4-year-old to do it now.
You know, I kept thinking about that, and I don't know if I've ever... I don't think I've ever read it anywhere, but you look at all the doctors, and they all look younger. Is he going, going backwards like...
Right, Benjamin Button.
Well, I was thinking more like Mork and Mindy's son.
Oh, you had to bring that up. That's just a painful memory.
Jonathan Winters.
I prefer Benjamin Button.
Okay, fine.
As a better storyline. Where's our thing for... I'm missing the button. Maybe it's on the other page. We got to get the thing for... There it is. Hacks and Strange Stories! Glad Lenny's still around.
Yeah.
Thought maybe he'd leave, but he's like a foot fungus.
We were wishing, but...
You can't get rid of him by ignoring him.
No.
We have a wonderful article from Gizmodo about the 1960s office desk of the future. This is great. The picture looks like it's right out of a comic book.
I know, doesn't it? It looks fantastic.
With its hovering video phone, modern dictation machine, and space pod design, this 1961 executive desk of tomorrow would fit in better on the ISS than at Steering Cooper Draper Price. The February 5th, 1961 edition of Arthur Radenbaugh's Closer Than We Think gave millions of people reading the Sunday comics a peek at the office desk of the future. Well, we do work in cubes, so that's not too far from a pod concept. And some people don't even have pods. They have 4 desks in one.
Well, actually, instead of a cube, I'd rather have a sphere.
Complete with a console that looks like it belongs on that Hollywood set where they filmed the moon landing, or at least the Flight of the Navigator, from the February 5th, 1961 Chicago Tribune. Advanced styling and electronic automation forecast new miracles in office procedures. The industrial design concept of an office of tomorrow focuses on a round desk, which, when opened, will give its owner far more space and convenience than is possible today. Folded shut, the unit encloses a matching chair.
Ooh, like that's... George Jetson.
Oh, I see. It's like an egg-type thing, and part of it comes down, and then you sit in it, and the rest is...
Inter-office television screens. Pfft, yeah, right, that'll ever happen. Will provide immediate face-to-face links with other business command posts.
Yeah,
Craig, are you considered a command post at this time?
I'll start doing it with my phone. We have that technology nowadays.
Rotary files will be keyed electronically for rapid reference.
No way.
No, I just can't see that happen. I don't know what this guy was smoking.
You're right.
The switchboard, as you see at left, will employ miniaturized connections to handle many more extension lines in less space than are provided by today's already advanced centrals. Wow.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking at the annotations for the picture.
Yeah, because Gizmodo does this now, too. IO9 started doing this. I think this is fun.
Yeah, here you go. One of them said, where the hell are you supposed to put whatever you're working on? There's no writing or reading surface in that pod.
Yeah, another one said, well, I guess I'll have to put my laptop on my lap again.
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 Or, no, just like the airplanes.
Oh, here you go. On the back, see the back of his seat, somebody said, Windows OS?
I was like, yeah, it looks like a Windows logo on the back of his seat. It's just a shine from the artist's conceptual drawing.
Hey, I dig the refrigerator under his seat, so it keeps him a little cool, too. You know.
Then the other ones.
That's where you put your drinks, because back in the 60s, you could drink in your office.
Yeah.
Secretary sold separately.
Yeah. That's right.
Office assistant not included.
A typewriter on it? Oh, by some the way.
Dictating machine.
We were going through Alaska, and we were in Anchorage, and we passed by a place that Anchorage Computer Repair and or Computer and Typewriter Repair.
Oh, that's good. Now neat. I know where I can get my typewriter repaired. That's handy.
I couldn't get my camera out fast enough as we were going down the road. Computer and typewriter repair.
Harrison, I don't know
goes,
if this
of
should...
course, Harrison goes, what's that?
Typewriter?
No.
Yeah. I'm like,
it's
Harrison.
Like a computer without a screen or storage. Yeah.
Well, I tried to tell him.
It has a screen, it's just the paper.
It's the keyboard and printer directly interfaced.
Yeah, it's like a fax machine, but it's manual. A what? No.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
The information goes directly from the keyboard to the printer. That's all you got to say.
Yeah.
No editing.
From your fingers to the paper.
Whatever you type comes out on the printer part. And then the keys get jammed.
Well, the next question is probably, well, what's the point?
This next story should probably have gone in the news. I don't know if this really qualifies as a hack and strange story, but 3D printed robo hands help kids without fingers.
Yeah,
from
CNET, really
cool. Carpenter Richard Van Az made his own digits after losing his fingers in an accident. Now he's helping kids by 3D printing prosthetics and running an Indiegogo campaign. People who've lost fingers can try to get robotic hands that cost tens of thousands of dollars, or they can try a 3D print of their own hand. That's what Richard Van Ass did after a woodworking accident in 2011 cost him four fingers. Hmm. The South African carpenter decided to build his own fingers from hardware store parts, but eventually turned to 3D printing. After a MakerBot Replicator 2 printer, he collaborated with Ivan Owen to create a prosthetic finger after much trial and error. Wow, that would be frightening. phantom hand! Try it again! Much trial and error.
Yeah.
He's not very good at the nose picking yet. They've since printed hands for fourth South African children who lack fingers.
With a 3D printer, once you had the design down, it'd be pretty easy to 3D print other hands.
You'd need to scale it for the different size people, too.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be as difficult.
Yeah, on Thingiverse, you know, you can download these all these 3D models of anything and print them out on your own 3D printer. Thingiverse has support for all these models.
As long as you have your own 3D printer.
Yeah, now that's the key. But, you know, if you get a 3D printer, which... It's probably a lot cheaper than a professional prosthetic, I'm sure.
No. 3D printers are still about 10 grand.
No, that printer he's talking about is about $1,500.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Neat.
So yeah, you could print it out. All you need to do is get the 3D model and you can tweak the, you know, whatever you need to do to attach it.
Yeah.
No, this printer's
maybe
already
expensive. Maybe I'll text my friends who I'm living with next year and say, hey, did anybody get a 3D printer? I think we need that and a coffee table.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's all go in halfers and get a 3D printer.
And what would you make with your friends if you had a 3D printer?
So you could make anything.
Not anything.
It's so exciting.
You can't make
almost anything. You can't make hamburgers, I know.
Yeah.
You could, but they're not very tasty.
No, really, the 3D printers, they're $2,000 or less, you can get a decent one, really.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Hey, we're going to take a break right here, and we will be back with Remember When in just a moment. We've got lots more stuff coming up. Craig and I are going to talk about, well, you've probably already seen it, but we'll talk about our impressions of the Star Trek movie and Iron Man 3, and we got a whole bunch of stuff in the Geek Library right after this. Hello and welcome to Technorama. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up Even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber trapdoor. It's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean, you know, around it. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would always feel like it's going to slide in my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something.
Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel, and you know, you could go out in the rain and this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
First up in the Remember When, we have... Craig has found us another article from CNET, The Walk Mac Revisited. Okay.
I kept thinking of like Sony Walkman when I...
That's what I was thinking too. But like, no, this looks like an early version of a portable.
Actually, you know what it reminds me of? You remember Ben Heck? He does the portable. He did the Xbox 360 portable and the Atari. You know, his DIY portable units.
Yeah.
That's what this looks like.
The article reads, recently my brother-in-law, Ken Landau, was doing a major spring cleaning when he came across a bit of computing history in his basement, a Colby WalkMac, the first battery-operated Macintosh computer and first portable Mac with an LCD display. That's redundant, but we'll go on. I'd never heard of a WalkMac, which wasn't built by Apple, but by electronics pioneer Chuck Colby, who founded Colby Systems in 1982. The Apple-sanctioned model you see here was modded around a stock Mac SE motherboard and hit the market in 1987, 2 years before Apple put out its own Macintosh portable in 1989 for $7,300.
It's portable. Think of all you can do with it.
Subsequent Colby models were built around the SE30 motherboard and had integrated keyboard with black mat in the picture above as a mouse pad.
No, it looks like a mouse pad, doesn't it?
Or a giant
sized touchpad. Yeah, I was thinking it was a keyboard, but it's really not a keyboard.
It looks like it's the size of a large, like DVD player.
Yeah. So do you have to carry this around and a keyboard?
Yeah, I guess so.
Lovely.
I mean, I'm gonna look in the gallery. Maybe
it is a clamshell design, and all the ports are on the left hand side. So you've got your parallel port and your power switch, and
it's a laptop.
Okay. But originally, on a lot of the old laptops, the connectors were in the back.
Oh, okay.
Because the sides were like for floppy drives and things.
I had a compact portable 386, which is probably similar to this. Has that orange LCD, you know, screen.
Oh, yeah. The Toshiba used to have a gas plasma display. Was it? The 5100 or 5300?
Yeah, something like that.
I used one in college for a project.
I thought you were going to say I hated it.
Oh, my gosh. Look at it compared to the MacBook Air. Look at the size comparison.
Yeah.
It's gigantic.
It's roughly the same.
Hey, it's roughly the same.
Yeah. And notice this. Look, if you're looking, there's a side view. It has all the ports, and there's a power connector at the bottom, and there's one for the screen. There's two power. One's on the screen part.
You have to power the screen independently.
So you got
to
carry two power cords.
Lovely.
Now, look, you see the actual Mac, the Apple design in 1989, look a lot like the first portable PC as well, with that half clamshell design. Wow, this thing is ginormous.
Here, let me show you something here. If you look at my screen here, it looks like I was receiving a fax and I printed out an iPad.
The iPad fits inside of this thing easily.
That's funny.
Those are funny. All right, good stuff from Remember When. In the Media Corner, should we play our Media Corner thing? Real quick.
Yeah,
real quick.
Why not?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Real quick, I mentioned that during a couple of those trips, I was only home for a few hours, and one of them was I was home for about 24 hours, and six of it was in the movie theater.
Sweet.
Watching back-to-back Star Trek and Iron Man 3 with Julie.
Oh.
Julie almost didn't make it to the end of the second feature. It was getting late.
It was getting late.
I was awake. I drove home. I was so awake.
That was good. No spoilers, though.
Okay,
so
we won't
Craig,
talk about
what did
spoilers
you think,
then.
What did you think of Star Trek Into Darkness?
I really did enjoy it. Without spoilers, it's hard for me to. Anyway, I'll put it this way. I thought I posted on Facebook that I thought I liked it more. It was more of an action movie than I guess more than sci-fi or even Star Trek. So, but in any case, I still enjoyed it a lot. I thought Simon Pegg nailed his part, and so did Zachary Quinto yet again.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole cast is really spot on. So I thought it was great. The pacing was great. Some of the things when you see it, and you'll kind of understand what I'm saying here, is I think they could have left out like the connection with an older Star Trek property. So
Torn on that. I thought that was an odd twist also, and kind of, you know, when they were doing the scene at the brig and went, no, don't go there. Oh, they went there.
I did the same thing. I was like, ah. So,
but,
yes.
You know, they pulled it off pretty well. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job.
Yes, I think he was perfect for
badass.
A villain. Yeah, he was perfect for a villain. I think they could have saved the twist that we're talking about.
Yeah,
For yet another movie, and just left it at that.
It's like a match. You can only light that sucker once.
Yeah,
they can't go back and reuse. Well, no, I don't want to give away other hints, but you can only do that trick once.
Well, and also, you know, they it was almost like for a cameo, but they had Leonard Nimoy in there, Spock, for a moment.
Briefly, yeah.
I think they could have just not.
Yeah, you're right.
It was not necessary.
It was a gratuitous appearance.
Yeah, I mean, I love Leonard Nimoy to death. I love the Spock character to death. Two separate things to me.
Something for William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy to bitch about at the next con.
Yeah.
Why wasn't I in the movie?
That's right. So, Julie, what did you think about it?
I thought it was really great. I'm not as familiar with the original Star Trek series as you guys are, but I just, like, on its own, I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't get the reference to what we're slyly referring to.
Well, actually, for to give my son some credit, he actually did realize that, because we've seen it before, and he was like, you know, he knows what we're talking about, and he was like, is that so-and-so? And I was like, yep, and he kind of figured it out. So, I had to do a little bit of explaining for a couple little plot points, and he got it. Well, I actually saw it today for the second time in IMAX 3D this time. Ooh. And when I was in the bathroom after the movie, I heard a guy explaining to his smaller son about, that was this guy, and that he was having to spell it out to him.
I want to see it again just so I can enjoy the the brig scene again. Because the people who were putting that movie together said they really enjoyed doing that and editing it, and you know, they got goosebumps and all this kind of cool stuff, and I was kind of caught up in what was going on, not how it was going on, so I want to go back and enjoy that again.
Yeah, you know, I will say one other thing about the Star Trek universe that we see in these movies is especially when we're looking at London and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. How late in technology is, and you know, like they're walking around with all the like not tricorder, but all the little devices, anything, the communicators, all this stuff, all this technology, but it's very organic. It looks like it kind of just belongs there rather than almost like product placement in some of the older sci-fis. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I thought it was cool
product
that they were using
placement.
Product placement.
Stark phasers.
But I did like how they were carrying around the communicators like we do cell phones now. And even like when McCoy had set it down on top of the photon as they were doing things, like a speakerphone.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was very reminiscent of how we use cell phones now. You know,
we're getting better at judging how people will use their technology that we already have.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see Iron Man 3?
I did.
Okay, real quick, what'd you think of that?
I liked it probably about as much as I did the first one. Almost, it was had more humor in it. I thought it was good because it took Tony Stark out of his element more, than any previous ones had. So even except for the first one, because of course he was in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was the humor was a little bit more in it. So yeah, Shane Black, has a reputation for doing like the buddy cop type movies. Mm-hmm. And I think that worked pretty well, especially when they got Rhodey into the action.
I thought it was good depth of character for Tony Stark. I liked the way that they kind of wrapped the story up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the reveal was a little too soon. A lot of people felt that Mandarin is a really bad character when it comes to the comic book series, mm-hmm. and he got shortchanged in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes out as feeling real strong, and I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it. And I thought they should have left, how to say this without giving it away, but if you haven't seen it, I thought they should have left Pepper broken at the end.
Really?
Yeah. I think that would have made a great, next movie, but apparently they wanted to wrap this up.
Yeah, maybe.
You see the little video cartoon short on the internet, how Iron Man 3 should have really ended?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one yet.
Go look, and you'll see what I mean, because somebody must have read my mind.
Yeah. To your point about the Mandarin, I think I can separate that from the comics. I know he's totally different in the comics than he is in the movie. But that being said, the way they did it in the comic or in the movie, I thought they did a good job with what they did. Because they had that Ben Kingsley just kind of, was playing both sides of that, when they did the little reveal, a little twist.
And, yeah, but I thought that was still too soon. I mean,
soon? Yeah, maybe a little too soon. But I think they did it, he did it well, I think, for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he turned into I don't want to ruin it. Is it still?
Yeah.
But yep, anyway, yep. You get the idea. Anyway, I think he played his part just right. But yeah, it was probably a little soon in the movie. Julie, what are your thoughts?
I was kind of worried that it'd be, Iron Man 3, The Quest for More Money.
Yeah, The Quest for More Money.
Good point.
But it was really good. I enjoyed, the action and the comedy and the everything. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. I also agree that it was a bit too soon to have the Mandarin.
Yeah, it was like, what, it was about halfway through or maybe before? No, about halfway through.
It was really early. And then after that, there wasn't too much confusion about who the bad guy was.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I think they should have, I wish they had left the Mandarin as the, or, had no confusion through the whole thing. And he was, as bad as he's supposed to be. That would have been awesome, but well.
Okay.
I thought I thought the special effects were fantastic, as well as I did in Star Trek.
Oh,
they
were
seamless almost.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll look back at it in 10 years and go, "What? We thought that was great."
I could see the strings.
How many suits did he really have? How many did he need? And they all come in what do you call that? Autonomously at his command.
It was supposed to be Jarvis running it.
Okay.
Hey, I think we're giving Jarvis a little too much credit. In action. All that when they were all called to action, they were all there and they all had their own specialties, and it was really cool.
There were a lot of neat things in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a few more minutes left. We are running a tad on the long side, so let's finish up with Geek Library. We have. If you were watching the website, you saw a full-scale Lego X-Wing fighter. And to complement that, we also have a full-scale Lego T-800 Terminator.
Hey, let's put him in that X-Wing.
Hey, that would work if they're both full-scale. Yeah. It says, we wholeheartedly approve this recent trend of perfect one-to-one scale Lego creations. First, it was the Lego X-Wing, which tipped the scales at the largest Lego creation ever assembled. And now, it's this smaller, though no less fantastic, full-scale LEGO T-800 Terminator model built by Martin Latta. All in all, endoskeleton gobbled up some 15,000 Lego pieces to accurately recreate its intricate pistons, wiring, and other components, including extra evil light-up eyes. Skinning the creation is going to be a little extra tricky, because we're sure Lada is up to the task of perfectly capturing a Terminator's particularly Austrian features. Nicely done.
You can hardly even tell this thing's made out of Legos.
Yeah, it looks pretty smooth, doesn't it?
Yeah, you gotta look like around the pelvis and stuff. I mean, some of those pistons, can you actually make those out of Legos, or is he special carving stuff?
I don't know. They have, I don't know if the pistons actually work, but yes, you can make them. You know, that would be kind of open air.
Yeah, they have circle ones, don't they?
Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, just quick mention, that X-Wing, that was awesome.
It had a steel frame underneath. It wasn't 100% bricks.
Oh, darn. I thought it was full brick. I was like, wow, how much did that cost?
No, it would have been structurally unsound.
Yeah, probably. Still, it looks awesome. I said, I want to sit in it.
So, you know, Father's Day is coming up, and, you know, some fathers like wine, and some fathers like Star Trek. So why not combine both? Because Star Trek wine is now a real thing. Behold, three Star Trek-themed wines dubbed The City on the Edge of Forever, Mirror Mirror, and The Trouble with Tribbles. That one sounds like you get a hairball in your throat when you drink it.
Yeah.
The wine used in this collection is produced from the award-winning Vianza Winery in Sonoma, California. I hope I said that right. I haven't visited that one. It is a special blend of Merlot, Sangiovese, I'm probably going to get slaughtered on some of these, Cabernet Franc, Dolcetto, Tintacao, and Tempranillo. As you can tell, I don't drink some of these wines.
Hey, by the way, I love the Mirror Mirror label. It looks like, I know it's, you know, Spock versus Spock, Mirror Spock, rather. But it looks like Rocky and Clubber Lane getting ready to go at it from Rocky Balboa.
The blend comes together to create a medium-bodied, easy-drinking red wine that is full of depth and character. Some more character than others.
Yeah.
Some characters have pointy ears.
Hey, I want to see
how much do they want?
I want to see them do that wine based on the black and white character, you know.
These are all on pre-sale right now, so apparently they'll be available in about 60 days and change.
No, hey, remember in the original series, I forget the name of the race, the black and white guys?
Loki and Beale.
They should do a wine based on that, have it black and white.
Where's the con wine?
Where's the con wine?
Con!
What a hell of a hangover, that con wine.
What's this third bullet you have in here? Oh, and the last of the show.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing something at the end of the show. Either we're going to, you know, just, you know, put a picture or something, maybe.
Oh, okay. Right. So you've got this one? The best Black Widow cosplay ever?
It's the best Black Widow cosplay ever.
How come the link I clicked went to Android Bootstrap? Did I put the wrong one
on there? Oh, crap.
Yeah, I think he's trying to brainwash us into Android land, Julie.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me see if I can find
Android
it real quick.
Bootstrap.com.
Hold on. I'll edit this out.
Oh, Craig, fail.
Nope. Here you go. You have to look at the webcam. Hold on a second.
This is where we appreciate your support. What is that?
There you go.
It's wonderful.
Oh, that's Black Widow. Not good. Black Widow dog. Yes. Okay, for the listeners, it's a dog. Apparently, this is at some dog show or maybe a sci-fi
it's
convention.
Like Comic-Con or something.
Yeah.
Okay, and
it's
they
like a dog in a wetsuit with a red head wig.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening.
Yeah, with the little Avengers logo on his side.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, now we need a Thor to go with that.
Like a big old dog.
And a green bulldog.
Yeah, I'll fix the link in the show notes.
We'll have the whole Avengers collection together. There's more jokes in there, but I'm going to leave them alone because we are over time and out of time. and we appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line. We haven't heard from some of you in a really long time because you haven't heard from us in a really long time.
Yeah, we're back, so where are you?
206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428, or if you want to email us an audio clip. You know how easy those things are to make with phones and whatnot these days?
Oh, yeah.
Send that to technorama@chuckchat.com. I do that for, like,
Dad
other podcasts.
Dad doesn't even text us anymore.
I send a mini podcast.
Mini.
It's all text messages are on our end, but you can definitely tell that he's standing there.
Talking?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I'll
Julie,
pick you up
at
11, period.
You subscribe to my RSS feed?
Hi, Julie, and welcome to your message.
Yeah. Welcome to the Julie podcast.
Yeah, message one.
If you like this message, please reply. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Hey, a few more people subscribe to the Facebook page. Thank you very much. We hope you find it entertaining and mildly amusing. And now that we're back, we can start posting there again. And the Google Plus page. What was the other one we were going to remind people of? Now I can't remember.
Well, it's Twitter, Google Plus, and Facebook.
I thought it was at the very top of the show, but now I can't remember. Okay, scroll, never mind. Let's just play that wonderful out theme.
Website.
The website? Yes, it's chuckchat.com, in case you might have missed that.
Hello.
Thank you very much. There are a number of people still donating to the tip jar on the little monthly micropayment thing. That helps offset our operational costs, because information wants to be free, but unfortunately, hosting is not.
Yeah.
We have to pay for it. I mean, that ought to be a good t-shirt, right? For the EFF?
Information
wants to be free. Unfortunately, hosting it is not.
That's right.
I'm writing that down. I have like 5 t-shirt ideas now. And that's going to be number 6.
Hey, special thanks to Matt Marr. I found another Technorama shirt.
We have a lot of Technorama shirts. Special thanks to Mad Marv and you guys for listening and all that good stuff. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101. And in broadcast.
That's how we roll.